Hey friend, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so glad that you're here because today we're just going to be talking about handling difficult relationships. Now, this episode, I guess you could say is for you. If you recognize that you go in and out of seasons with relationships that just feel difficult to handle, even I'm going to use an example of somebody in our member community with her daughter in addiction. You know, there are things in our life, in the relationships that we carry, where we're going to move probably in and out of difficulty, right? I really want to stress that things that are hard are not always the time to leave. And when things are hard, it's not always toxic. And so we really have to redefine this. And so we're just going to have this conversation. I'm going to provide 5 ways to really walk through handling a difficult relationship. So whether you're in your car or taking a walk, I'm just praying the Holy Spirit to have fresh revelation in your heart and even to keep us soft, to keep our hearts soft when things feel hard. And it feels hard to talk to somebody and it feels hard to communicate because maybe they just keep putting you down. So just pray for fresh revelation for you right now and a soft heart as we kind of talk about these 5 ways to handle difficult relationship. Hey friend, do you feel distant from God? Are you constantly trying to understand if God is good, then why do bad things happen? Do you wish the church had more conversations around things like depression, anxiety, or grief? Hard and bad things have happened in this world that need a safe space to be processed, and the church should be one of those places. And this podcast is one of those places. I'm Jessica Hoddle, a biblical counselor, mentor, author, and speaker. I'm the big sister who's going to tell you the truth because I care. In this podcast, we are going to be talking about feelings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Practical ways to take care of your emotional and mental health while never losing sight of God. How to study your Bible so that you can grow a deeper relationship with God and the church. So pull up a chair and join me at the table. Let's go on this journey together, friend. I think one thing that we know by now is that we can't control our people. And the thing that happens, though, is that we do. And we want to control people because it gives us a sense of safety. It's kind of, you know, what we might even call some kind of survival technique is if we can keep everything around us safe feeling, then the inner chaos that I might have to feel when this spot or this person, this home doesn't feel safe anymore. And we try to mold people, right, into what we want them to be. And then when they don't meet that expectation, we get very frustrated. And if we can be honest with ourselves, a lot of that focus is actually on us. And it's what we want them to do, who we want them to be. And again, sometimes this is honestly, it's, I don't want to say as far as certain codependencies of believing like this person needs me, but it's just this reality that sometimes we want to think that we can control somebody or be that person that changes them, right? We see it in all the love movies. But I'm going to challenge you today in just a little bit different way of we have to first, I think, go back to some basics of defining what is difficult. Like, what does difficult mean to you? And does that mean that do they feel like they don't understand you? Do you feel like they don't listen to you? In other words, what I'm trying to say is, do you feel like maybe they're not meeting your needs? And so it feels difficult to be in a relationship with them because they're not meeting the needs that you feel like they should be meeting, right? Or is it difficult in the sense that they're hard to talk to? They make everything about themselves. They're one-uppers. We all know these people. Are they pessimists? Do they kind of just tend to view the world through just everything is bad, kind of living in that victim mindset? Or do you find that they're just that Debbie Downer? I think these are both difficult sides, but sometimes we don't distinguish the level of difficult or what it really is that is making us feel as though this is hard and difficult. Hopefully that makes sense. So again, we can look at it through the sense of We feel like they're difficult because they don't understand us. They feel like they don't listen to us. And maybe they're not meeting our needs. So it just feels difficult to be in a relationship with them, right? And it can be, this is not just romantic. I want to be clear in that. This can also be friendships, family relationships, any of that. Or is it difficult in the sense that they truly are hard to talk to? Again, they make everything about themselves. They are a pessimist, Debbie Downer. They live in this kind of victim mentality. Something that a member community shared, which I'm so grateful for. And really this member community is a sense, a extension of the podcast. You get bonus episodes, you get a biblical study every single month. And in February, we're actually going to be talking about stress and anxiety. So the whole month, I'm just tackling the topic of stress and anxiety. So join us. It really helps support the podcast. And that way I don't have to have ads in the podcast, and really, it just helps support the ministry so that we can really spread the gospel and the truth that Jesus heals and you're not alone. But a member in one of the posts I made this month, you know, because we chat and you're able to talk to me and conversate, she was asking about detachment. And I loved her honesty about that. And so I started asking a little bit more question of, what do you mean by detachment? And she started to share about a relationship with her daughter and that her daughter had an addiction. And she just wanted to know how to navigate, like how to kind of let go of the control in a sense and really trust that God is going to take care of her daughter in that. Because again, we can't control their people, and there's forms and ways that we can support them in that. And this particular member sharing with the other members of the community for prayer. And the thing about it is we can only support and understand what addiction is. And that's what I started to tell her and walk through with. And learning how her daughter was handling addiction and what happened in the cycle of addiction that we go through will help her be able to handle and talk to her daughter on a different level. So having and being in relationships, for example, as I'm sharing from the member community, might feel difficult. It's difficult to be in a relationship with somebody that has an addiction. But when we understand how addiction works in the body and in the brain, in the cycle of that person that is going through addiction, it can allow us to talk differently about the addiction and to that person. Now, it just makes it easier to navigate, but I'm aware that that is, can still be a difficult relationship to navigate. So I just wanted to use that as an example and also just encourage you to join us inside of this member community. We have continuing conversations on mental health and the church. And again, this is next month in February. We're going to be talking all about stress and anxiety. So if you are somebody right now that is wrestling with stress or anxiety, we're going to talk about it all from a clinical, a biblical, and a practical perspective. The link to join is in the show notes, but you can just go to patreon.com/Jessica Hoddle. And it's $7 a month right now to join. And you can cancel at any time. Okay, I digress. Number one, the first thing I want to talk about is we have to be able to look at someone through God's eyes and not their pain and not our pain. This really gives us the ability to love them where they are, okay, and not how we want them to change. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:16, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." Even though that is one of the hardest things for us not to do. The ESV translation says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer." So the first thing when we're handling difficult relationships is, I know that we want to look at people through our pain, but we really have to take this perspective of God's eyes. Now, I do want to add the disclaimer that I often add in all of the podcasts that I talk about stuff like this is I am not referring to an abusive relationship. I am not referring to constant manipulation, and I don't want to overuse the word gaslight, but the relationships that are more abusive, manipulation, extreme controlling, I highly recommend seeking help in your community, your church, therapy, counseling to really navigate that. Again, this is, I want to come from a place of, I don't want to generalize relationships, but when things do feel hard, when there are situations that come up, you know, as I referred to from the member community, maybe an addiction that are still hard to navigate and difficult, but that willingness that you still want to love on that person. And so we have to be able to look at them through the eyes of God. And so number two, are you looking at the person and their character? Are you looking at the behavior that is causing the difficulty? In my biblical study that will be coming out in the member community, we'll get this first. I talk about the consequences of anger and the result of anger. And I really dive into Matthew 5, 21 through 23. But most importantly, in this study, I talk about the biblical, the practical, and the clinical. That's what I'm all about, is integrating your whole body into why we feel this way and why we do the things that we do. Not just about quoting scripture, but living that scripture out and understanding it. And so we, through that passage of scripture in Matthew, we quickly realize when Jesus is speaking, how easy it is for us to insult someone and their character without ever addressing the real issue. And I talk about the seven cycle of anger that we go through, but we really, when navigating difficult relationships and handling them, we have to know, are we actually addressing the behavior that is causing the difficulty, or are we just continuing to put them down over and over and over again? Number three, we want to identify the everyday stressors in the relationship. So we think about stress in itself, Satan, sin, the stories or the scripts that they believe from their past. We also need to think about just the speed of life, like how different it is then from now, and how quick we're always moving. And this plays a role in the difficulty and how it plays out, because everyone wants to feel safe, significant, and secure in their relationship with someone. It doesn't matter if it's a friendship, a family relationship, or, you know, your spouse. It's all the same. Everyone needs to feel safe, significant, and secure. And in that, we have to first ask ourselves if we feel that way with God. Because if we don't feel safe, significant, or secure in our relationship with God, then it's going to play out in our relationship with people. So number one, looking at through God's eyes and not our pain. Number two, are you looking at the person and their character? Are you looking at their behavior that's causing the difficulty? Number three, we have to identify the stressors that are maybe playing a role in how this difficulty is coming out. Now, number four, we have to recognize what stage you are in with this person. Are you distancing yourself? Do you have an anger of hope? We start responding in a negative way sometimes, hoping things will change. We kind of get angry, we become passive aggressive, and we do these things in a hope that maybe this person will change. So I want you to think of it this way. We kind of respond in a negative way to their actions, hoping they will be different. It's a negative pattern that kind of occurs to try and get back what was lost. So what we do is we point out the thing that we actually want them to change, but we are addressing it in a negative way. If we want them to, you know, I'm just going to use a spouse, to put their clothes in the basket, we might say, you always throw your clothes on the floor. You see, we're using this negative reinforcement, hoping that their actions are going to change. And really, it doesn't. It just continues to put that person down. Now, again, you're going to have to figure out what are you saying, even maybe passive aggressively to a friend, to a family member, or to a spouse, that you kind of, you're angry inside. And these comments come out because you're hoping that the relationship does change or things go from difficult to not as difficult. And number five, practice delaying your response. Delay is one of the greatest response to difficulty and anger. It allows us to really get to the context of the situation and not react, but it gives us the ability to respond. We want to practice delay. So when a difficult situation is happening, or you're now face to face with that difficult boss, with that difficult friend, because you're in that season right now with them, you have to decide, I need to delay my response, because you already know that right now there's this rough patch you're in with this person. Again, referring back to the memory community, it's addiction. And so they're going to say things that might anger you and frustrate you. You pausing and allowing yourself to get the context of the situation, which again, allows us to go back to the other questions. How am I looking at them? Am I looking at their behavior, or am I just criticizing them? What is their everyday stressors? What is going on in their life? What stage am I at with this person? Those five things matter. But when it comes to communication is really the biggest thing when it comes to handling difficult relationships. So I'm just going to give you five really quick to improve the quality relationship of communication. Be a good listener. And that comes from James 1:19. He says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Number two, reflect on and think what is being spoken. Proverbs 15:32. It says, whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The next one, we want to be sensitive and respectful of each other. And you can see that in Ephesians 4:31 and 1 Peter 3:7. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. We want to speak the truth in love. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you put off the old self with its practices. Don't fight or respond in anger. We see in Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So quit before the quarrels break out. And the last thing is confess and forgive. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it is working. So just to recap, one, how are we looking at them? Through God's eyes, our own pain. Two, are you looking at the person and their character and constantly criticizing them? Or are you looking at how we can address the behavior that's causing the difficulty? Because addressing the behavior is also going to allow us to address their heart, which is really how our behavior manifests, is what we believe. And then that what we believe is formed. And especially if we're in pain, our behavior is going to respond to that. If we're angry, anger always has an expression. Number three, identify the everyday stressors in the relationship, like stress, the stories they believe, the speed of life, it all plays out. Number four, recognize what stage you're in with this person. And number five, practice delaying your response. And overall, we just want to improve the quality of our communication, especially in this digital world. I'd love to have you join us now inside the community. You get everything we talked about this month. And also next month, we're talking about stress and anxiety. It's again, $7 a month. Help support the podcast so I don't ever have to have ads or anything like that. But most importantly, a community of women that is going to provide you with prayer, and I'm going to provide you with resources to really, really help you be set free this year from the pain and the anger and the things that you're holding on to. Go to patreon.com/Jessica Hoddle, and I'll see you there. As always, don't forget to challenge the way you think to change the way you live.